بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Exams of three types: test, a trial, an examination, are at three levels. The first level is theory. What you go through in a madrasa, in a college, university, this is all theory. They will ask you certain concepts, certain rules, certain applications. So this is the first level. The second level is practical. Physical, practical. One may have learned the driving manual and instructions. Now it is to be seen whether he can apply it correctly or not. So this is the second level. That is the practical, the physical dimension. And this is even more difficult than the theoretical one. The one that is in theory, it's just something that's in your mind. It is just something that you have by hearted, and it's in your mind. It's nothing above, nothing more than that. And most people get confused and complicated here. They feel that we know this. So when we know this, then what's the need of us being advised in these matters? Because we know it already. So the reason for them being advised is because it is still at the level of theory. It is not practically demonstrated. You know about namaz, but now what about namaz? See you in namaz or not? You know about the fazilat, for example, about the first serve, coming early to the masjid, coming with respect, making proper arrangements for namaz, but is that to be found physically in you? Is it alive in you? Or is it just ringing in the mind? So that is the second level. That are you applying? Is the application found? Now that is the second level. And the second level is more important and more difficult than the first level. You know about anger, but it is to be seen whether you are in your control, when you have control over yourself at the time of anger. You know about it. I don't need to have a lecture about it, all right? Fair and well, you don't need to have any explanations about it. But do you have control over yourself at the time of anger or not? You know about the guarding of the eyes. Very good that you know about guarding of the eyes. But do you have control over your eyes when you are confronted with a situation? You know about controlling your tongue, and that the worst destruction that is caused to a man is through his tongue. Right? You know about it, but then do you know how to apply it? Is it found in your life? Is it applied in your life? So this is the second level. First level is of theory, and the second level is of application. So that second level is even more important than the first level. Then you come to the third level. The third level is the level of total submission and acceptance, wholehearted acceptance. It's not just acceptance, but it is a wholehearted acceptance. You're in love with that concept. You love the concept, and you die for the concept. You live for the concept. Salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. You live and you die for these concepts. You submit yourself for these concepts. So now this is the highest level of the examination. First level is quite simple. You give some paper to children or youngsters, and they will bahat it and they will give it to you. I've learnt it off. It's easy. It's not very difficult. Right? So that is the first level. The first level is not at all difficult. A person has got a little bit more better memory, then he can retain it and he can memorize it easily. So he's retained it, he's understood it, he's memorized it. So it's a theory. That's the first level. So this first level is quite easy. It's not a difficult one to get control and mastery over. Then the second level is a little bit more difficult. You understood that this is not right. But do you apply it? You understand that, for example, the bazaar is the worst place to visit. But do you find yourself in a position that you go there very, very reluctantly? And then do you apply the rule, الزَّرُورَةُ يَتَقَدَّرُ بِقَدْرِ الزَّرُورِ, or do you make it an outing, your wife and your children and everybody goes out? Okay? Everybody, you go out, your wife goes out and child goes out. No, the shaitan mustn't only get me, must get my wife also, and must get my child also, then I'll feel pleased. No, it's got me, got my wife and my child, it's got. So I'll feel so pleased about it. All the effects of the shaitan of that bazaar must come into me and my wife and my growing child. And then I'll want to know that why is this child misbehaving? And why are there shaitanic asarat in him? Why has he got this effect of this jadu in him? And why is my child misbehaving? I need to give him a good hiding. But you dumped him into that corner, then you didn't think about it. See? So that is the second level. You know about it. Then do you apply it? No, man, I had to go now. Duress and pressure, and I had to do it. I had to do it. So that's the second level. That's the level of application. So I say the first level is the easiest level. The theoretical level is the easiest level. Now comes to the application. That is the difficult one. That is a difficult one. Do you apply it? Now you know about Takbir-e Ula, so much of sawab. Do you apply that type of importance to the Takbir-e Ula that you apply to your 100 rands, 500 rands, 1000 rands? Hey, you're wasting money. No brains you got. Israf, fuzul karaj. You'll shout that child. But that first Takbir-e Ula, coming first to the masjid, coming the first serf, do you show the same type of importance? So that means you haven't passed in the second level. In the second level of that examination, you haven't got through. You still failed. You're still backwards. You're only good for explaining that concept. That's all. Whether you have got the concept or not, you failed in that. That you failed. Coming, not coming, first serve, last serve, one takbir-e ula, second takbir-e ula. See? Or you missed out one rakat. Well, I got my jamaat. What's the big hue and cry about? So, but you have failed in the second level. You are a very good preacher, mashallah, very good preacher. But practicer, then which level are you in? Have you failed or have you passed in the practice? You can talk about anger, but do you have the control of it? You have spoken about looking after the sight and the tongue, but do you have a command over these things? You have also spoken about looking after the heart, but do you have a control over this, or you fail in this? So that's the second level. So then is the third level, and the third level is the most difficult one. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. Surrender, submit yourself. So in other words, wholehearted submission I want. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali had given some illustrations to explain the same point, this point that is at the third level. لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا. See, when Allah Ta'ala speaks about this verse, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا, He covers the theoretical aspect and He also covers the practical aspect, that it is not the blood that reaches Allah Ta'ala, not the flesh. So you need to know qurbani to do qurbani, right? You need to know about qurbani to do qurbani. So both these aspects have been covered. The aspect of the sacrifice is covered, and the aspect of knowing about the sacrifice is also covered. But what Allah Pakh says, وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Then it's not these things that reach me. I want to see this. تَقْوَى هَهُنَا. I want to see the feeling that you're giving, that sacrifice. Is it something real? Is it something that you really believe? Is it something that you really, really entertain, and you're giving it wholeheartedly, or you're just giving, alright, just make the qurbani finish, make it India, make it here. Are you doing it in that way? How are you doing it? I was seeing in Bukhari Sharif, in Kitab al-Udhiya, that the Sahaba Kiram say that kunna nusamminu udhiyatana fil madinati. In Medina Munawara, living in Medina Munawara, we used to fatten our sheep in Medina Munawara. See, Medina Munawara was a flourishing town. People from all walks of life were coming to Medina Munawara. It was a center of Islam. In Medina, they used to keep sheep and they used to fatten them here. Look at the spirit of the Sahaba Ikram. One is, they could have taken it to the outskirts of Medina Munawara, go get it fattened there, and then do the slaughtering and bring it back home. Ya kunna nusamminu udhiyatina fil Madinati. In Medina Munawara, we used to fatten them, Sahaba Ikram say. So you see that feeling, that is the third level. It is quite popular about Shaykh al-Hind, or Mahmood al-Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, that after the Qurbani was over, then he will buy a calf. Calf should be at least over 2 years of age. So he used to buy that cow, small calf, perhaps 1.5, 2 years, one more year left now. So he'll buy just after Qurbani, and then he will fatten the animal at his own home. He will fatten it, and that animal will take a liking to him. He will bring it right to the madrasa, because that thing was already in love with Molana. So he will join Molana right till the madrasa. Molana will bring it, leave it outside the madrasa, and he's returning home. That thing will join Molana, come home. As the days of Qurbani will come closer, then Mura will feed it with milk and jalebi, right? Milk and jalebi, you'll feed it. Now, Shaykh al-Hind rahmatullahi is the ustad of all our mashayikh. You can talk about the mashayikh and he is their ustad, right? So he will fatten all this. Then as the time of Qurbani comes even closer, then he'll put mendi. You don't have to do that. I don't say the sunnah, but this is the feeling. Walaki yanalhu taqwa. It's the feeling. What feeling you are doing it with? Today the feeling is there, but the feeling for the wife now. Wife must get this, and wife must get that. And the wife won't be happy with this, and the wife will be happy with that. So the feelings are there, but it's diverted in a different tangent, in a different line. As though our whole Qibla becomes our woman. There's a hadith which says that. وَقِبْلَتُهُمْ نِسَاؤُهُمْ. Their woman become their direction in life. She must make that instruction, they'll be going for it. She must say it and we're doing it. قِبْلَتُهُمْ نِسَاؤُهُمْ. Their woman are their qibla, their direction. But don't get the extreme. See, don't go to the extreme now. Now from today now, you're going to start hitting them and shouting at them now. أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ fitna, عَدُوَّا لَكُمْ. وَإِنْ تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفُوا. Allah Pakh still says, then to forgive them, overlook them. But you be on your guard. They will divert you. They are a test for you. They are a trial for you. They will keep distracting you. Do this and go here, buy this and buy that. And then after that, when you come home, many, many men come and tell me that after we bought all that, we understood that 3/4 of what we bought because of what the wife said was kachra. Really? They say, 3/4 of what we bought, we could do without it. We could have used it in a better cause, But no, the wife prompted us to go, and we bought it. And we bought it, we came home, and we realized it was kachra. See? 3/4 of the times that we make an outing, shop, bazaar, mall, etc., we come back and we understand we wasted our time and we got fatigued. Right? We're going and coming at least 20, 30 rand petrol money. See? Petrol money, car, whatever it was. Getting into that crowd, madding crowd. Coming back, all that mental strain that we took on ourselves, what we earn, nothing but exhaustion. Why? Because of that woman. Now, from the beginning, if we train them, Quran is saying, وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا. Don't go to the extreme, go hit them, fight with them. No. وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا. Overlook. See? Forgive, overlook. Don't look at their faults all the time. But the Quran Sharif, by the same token, says, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ. Then you guard yourself, take care of yourselves and your wife and children. Take care of yourselves and your wife and children. Now you're in a marriage, so you know that this is going to happen. You want to be led or you want to be the leader. Quran Sharif is saying, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ, that you're the leader. So now you make up your mind, what you want. You want to be led or you want to be leader. This last week, was one person that came, some problem, marital problem. So he's apart from a professional person, he's also a lecturer. So he's giving me his own dimension and what's the problem, what is the reason for problems in marriages, etc. And the need for going to marital classes and all the pre-marital classes. So he's giving his whole bayan on that. This is what we need to do. So I told him, "Bhai, I understand what you're saying, but now look at it. Look at it unbiased, unprejudiced. What you're telling me is your own invention, right? Now he's a lecturer, so you have to speak to him at that level. It's your own invention. It's a trial and error. It may work out, it may not work out. You are suggesting to me that they must interview each other, know this, that, and how she will respond to a certain situation. And what will she want? What won't she want?" An example he was explaining is, for example, now the child has come of age, and you say no, the child must go to this school, and she says no, the child must go to that school. Now, how are you going to take the decision? How are you going to rule the decision? It's a fact. You can't escape that. This is what's happening in many homes, right? She's saying no, go take the child to this school, and you are saying take the child to that school. Now you think, if I'm going to insist and I'm going to put my foot down, then at night, who's going to pull my socks out of that? I'm going to put my foot down, have my way. At night, I need someone to pull my socks down. Who's going to do that? So you think of the night now. Then you're going to compromise. And each thing you'll compromise. But remember, if you are firm in deeni matters, you're firm. You don't have to shout. You don't have to fight. You don't have to bring the roof down. You don't have to keep on giving lectures. No. If it's a dini matter, then be firm. No matter how upset they feel, no matter they give you a stiff face, they don't talk to you for 5 days. That's woman's defense. A woman's defense is they won't talk to you now. Ha na ka jawab denge. Oh yes, no, yes, no. Ha na ka jawab denge. They'll give a stiff face, 2 days, 3 days. Finish. Those people are giving their lives for Islam. Now you can't even put up with the stiff face of your wife. Kya mujahid hai? What jihad you'll do? They are putting up, giving their lives for Islam. Days upon end, see? You're seeing people that are seeing the television, whatever, they're seeing all these things happening all the time. What they're doing, Palestine, what they're doing, Iraq, what they're doing, Afghanistan, what they are doing. We're looking at all that. You say, now we would be in there, we'd have given our lives. But by here, you can't put up with the stiff face of your wife. What jihad? Kya mujahid? Ye to mujahid nahi. Ye to aurte hai, ladkiya hai to. It's a woman. Yeah, woman. They got no heart. Put up with that. What's wrong? You're not doing it for your own sake. You're doing it for Allah Ta'ala. Like that mujahid is doing it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, for the defense of Islam. Isn't this the defense of Islam? That Islam, mustn't it permeate your own home? Every nook and corner of your home, it must permeate. So can't you be a little bit firm? Can't you be a little bit strong? Yes, you need to be compassionate towards them, but not to the level where you're giving to some of your dini values. You need to be compassionate, you need to be loving, you need to be caring. The best was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But did you see that Rasulullah ever gave in and compromised in any dini respect? Any dini thing? Did he give in? He didn't give in. He didn't give in then. That's one statement by one of the Azwaj al-Mutahharat. And Rasulullah left talking to her for approximately 2.5 months. Just one statement. So in dini matters, he wasn't compromising. No. Yes, in everything else, we will compromise. There's no food, all right, we'll compromise. Not prepared, we'll compromise. Everything else, we'll compromise. Here, if there's no food, then we can't compromise. Our whole mood goes right where there's food. Of course, it's obdik tafel. When the food is there, then the whole magaj goes right. Everything rotates around that. And if that is not right, then everything goes right. From everything goes wrong. From the food, everything goes wrong. So our benchmark is the food, stomach. So hum kya khuda ke bande kahe ja sakte hai, ya pet ke bande? Kiske bande hum kahe jayenge? Rasulullah comes into the house. Any food? No food. All right. Inni ana saim. I'm fasting then. I'll keep a fast. Why waste the day? No food. I'll fast the day. So I don't waste the day. So this is the second level. And the third level, as I say, is the level of loyalty. So I spoke about Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Alayhi. And Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Alayhi, now he's fattening that animal, and the day of Bukhara Eid has come, and then he's got that cow that came up as though in his own arms, feeding from his own hands, and he's got it, and he and his children are crying, and they're slaughtering that animal. What spirit, what feeling they are doing it? This is what Allah Ta'ala said. What's the feeling? You did it just like, oh, one of those things, it has to be done, let it be done. Or you did it with that feeling, with that jazba, with that feeling. This is what Allah wants to see. Azadji Rahmatullah gave examples of this. You see this feeling. This is what Allah wants to see. He says, the queen used to send her clothing or the clothes of the castle, whole castle. She used to send her clothing to one dhobi. India, they have a dhobi system. Washerman, washerwoman. And she's in charge of washing the clothing. Anyway, the dhobi's son, he came across a pair of clothing that attracted him. He found out whose clothing. Well, it's the princess clothing. Give it to me, let me wash that, let me take care of that. Attracted to the clothes, see? And he's washing it, and washing it with all the fervor, all the spirit. In those days, there wasn't surf and omo, and whitening agent, so whitening it, however they're whitening it, then pressing it, and seeing that it's right. Now the clothes are going to the princess. Anyway, he is putting his heart and his soul into that clothing. And his mother could see now that this boy is building up an affinity and a love for that princess. And the dhobi, in Indian culture, dhobi is considered to be the lowest class. And here he's dreaming about the highest person, the princess. He's the lowest, he's dreaming about the highest. So the mother thought, now how must I push my child off? Because if the king only comes to know that this person is aspiring after my daughter, then all of us will be beheaded. No chance. There's no compromise in this. There's no negotiations in this. If the king only learns about this, what will happen? So now she's thinking, hey, what should I do? How should I put my child off this? Once and for all. So the Doban, she tells her child, you know what, son? You know that princess that you were madly in love of? She just died, man. She just died. He got a heart attack and he died. He thought to himself, اب جینے میں کیا فائدہ, واٹ از دا نیڈ آف کنٹینیوئنگ ود لائف, دا ون دیٹ آئی گیون مائی لائف فور, دا ون دیٹ آئی ورکڈ فور, آئی گیون مائی سویٹ فور, آئی واز اسپائرنگ فور, شی ڈائڈ, ناؤ دیئر از نو میننگ آف لائف لیفٹ فور می ناؤ, آئی رادر ڈائی, اینڈ ہی گاٹ اے ہارٹ اٹیک اینڈ ہی ڈائڈ. سی محبت کے قصے, محبت کی کہانیاں, از لو, دس واٹ اللہ پاک وانٹس, المرء مع من احب, دیٹ از وائی دا درجہ آف محبت از دا گریٹسٹ. رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, when he announced this to the sahaba kiram says that this brought the greatest amount of consolement, because we know that maybe in other aspects we may be not of the highest level, so much of namazes to our credit, so much of nafil namazes, so much of tahajjud, but yes, we are definite and we are sure about the love that we have for Rasul Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There we are absolutely certain, we don't have any doubts about our love. So the muhabbat is the highest thing. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. That is the highest. Anyway, on this end, the princess began to receive her clothing washed by the Durban herself. Dhobi's son has passed away. So when the Dhobi's son has passed away, so the Dhobi himself or herself, she is washing the clothing. Son has passed away. Now who's going to wash the clothing? She's going to wash the clothing. But when the clothing is going back, so the princess sees that that touch is not there. You know, that touch of love is not there. That feel is not there. When there is love, then the feeling is different. The touch is different, right? You know, you want to send a bouquet of flowers for your wife, whatever. You came from Umrah, 4 months, 5 months, Jamaat, whatever. You send a bouquet. There'll be a feeling. It must be decorated like this. This flower must stand out like that. And gold watch or something must be placed like this. So that feeling will be there. And she receives it, and she receives it wholeheartedly. Why? There's a feeling there. As though she can imagine, now this is my husband's hands, and this is how he placed it. And her mind will be driving on another end, isn't it? She can imagine, that feel is there. Now this princess is receiving her clothing, but she is receiving her clothing and she sees that that feeling is not there, that touch is not there, that finish is not there. When that finish is not there, she sees it for one time. Maybe someone may have slipped up second time. Or the third time was too much for her, so she asked the Doban, but now what's wrong? Why is the clothing like this? So she tried to just cover up. So no, you'll have to tell me. She insisted. Then this Doban explains that really this is the story. So this princess was so affected, that this person hadn't seen me. He fell in love with my clothing. Had he seen me, what would have happened to him? She got a heart attack and she passed out. Both died. Muhabbat ki kasam, muhabbat ki kahani. This Hazrat Rahmatullah is relating to us. You see. So that muhabbat, the darja and the level of muhabbat is the greatest. Is the greatest. That is why Allah Ta'ala speaks about muhabbat. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. That the believer's love for Allah Ta'ala is most intense. Everything else is in its place. Namaz, everything else is in its place. They're not compromising in all that. But وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Their love for Allah Ta'ala is intense. It's severe. And not intense, أَشَد with a superlative degree. أَشَد is severest. It's most intense. Everything else they can forego. But the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't want to compromise in that. That they cannot compromise. Everything else, this went away, that went away, this is gone, that is gone. They are not so concerned about it. Here, this cannot be compromised. You see? وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. So in order to get this muhabbat and this level of love, then the method that would lead us, the road that would lead us to that, right, is the road of fana'iyat, right? We have to offer ourselves. We have to show the type of loyalty. We have to show the type of allegiance. And when you show the type of loyalty, you show the type of allegiance, you will get there. One person came here yesterday, So he's saying, I'm coming here for 4 years, but I don't see a remarkable difference in me. So I told him, bhai, see you coming here. What time are you coming here? Just about 10 minutes before namaz. And when you leave, after namaz, you'll leave. And how often are you coming here? No, sometime half a day, one day, once in a month, once in 2 months. I said, no, now listen. Listen in perspective. Listen in correct perspective, right? You want to learn a science, right? A certain skill, a certain profession, right? It'll take you 8 years, 9 years, dedicated. You will turn the day into night, the night into day, and you will work sweat and blood together. After 8, 9, 10 years, then you learn that profession. And that profession only helps you for 70, 60 years of your life, right? Beyond that, it doesn't help you. Just for that 60, 70 years, and you need to put that, make the blood and the sweat together. Now here, when you come here, what you come with, what frame of mind you come here? You come with a frame of mind that you want to build up and rectify your link and relationship with Allah Ta'ala. You want that to be absolutely clear. You don't want an interruption in that line. Right? There mustn't be any interruption. It must be absolutely clear. Now this is what you live for, this is what you are born for, this is what you are dying for. Is there anything else? It is what you are born for, what you are dying for, what you are heading towards, what is your end. This is what you are out here for. So this is the very essence of your life. For that which is the essence of your life, you're coming sometime 5 minutes before namaz. Now you want the whole thing to just come into you. It's like a miracle. I say miracle do happen, but it's not the order, not the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that miracles must happen. They don't happen like this. For that you gave 8 years, and you struggled, and you worked, and you were very, very, very conscious about your time, all that, everything came up. Now here you want a relationship of Allah Ta'ala, and that must be like as though it's delivered to you at your bedside. Now come and take it, please. No, you'll have to struggle even more for it. You have to work very hard for it. The type of difficulties, the type of hardship that went into gaining this. So the bottom line is that fana'iyat. And this is where we are missing out, we are losing out. That fana'iyat is not there. We have got, everybody's got one agenda, and we say, no, we want a relationship with Allah Ta'ala. My Ibrahim was here, you know. So he was explaining to me that why people, they go for a certain distance, they cover up, and after that, they aren't moving after that. They go for a certain distance, they come right, and then after that, they become stranded on the road. No progress. So he told me the same thing. Basically, he told me. He didn't give me exact and definite examples, but this is what he'd explained. That this is where they go off. They go to a certain extent, and then after that, they are stranded at that point. So the reason for it is many people have their own agendas, you know, their own ideas. And the other reason, he says, two reasons. One is you have your own agenda. And the second reason, he says, is this, that they don't come with complete aqidat. When you come to the shaykh, then you come with complete confidence, absolute confidence. This is what they interpret as fana'iyat. Complete confidence, absolute focus. The focus not turning away. And no double agenda. Now you could do something in the secret and something on the apparent. So there's two standards that are going on and working on you. Two agendas. How is it going to work? If you have got two agendas working within you, how is it going to work? Someone comes to attend the class, right? But whilst the class is on, he's busy with something else. He's got his cell phone or something else. And he's looking at you. So you will get very disturbed. I'm working so hard at night, preparing for you. And you've got a different agenda. So if Allah Ta'ala tells you the same thing, but you've got a different agenda. You are here, you are showing outwardly that you want to be with me. But you've got your own agenda, then how will Allah Ta'ala take it? You get so disturbed, then how will Allah Ta'ala take it? So have you got a single agenda, or is it a different agenda? Is it one and the same thing, or is it different? So I was explaining the incident of Shah Beg, rahmatullah alayh, very great buzurg of his time. Shah Beg, he made that type of khidmat for his sheikh. You see the agenda, the focus, the aqidah, the confidence, everything is one. then Allah Ta'ala grants it to you. The type of khidmah that he made was his sheikh used to be called out, go come here, come here, come here, come here. And this Shah Big understands that the family is going through some constraints. They don't have the type of food. Sometimes there's no food for 2 days, 3 days. So he will tell the host quietly that Shah Sahib is coming to your place, but you arrange for the meals. I will go and deliver it. Secret, this was a secret arrangement. So he will go and do whatever he needed to do, and they will give a parcel. After he's put the sheikh to sleep, rubbed his feet and all that, put him to sleep, he's coming to deliver the food 20 kilometers away. And he travels back 20 kilometers on foot, just on time to give him the water for tahajjud namaz. They left Isha time, come to deliver the food, and he's returned just at tahajjud time, just to come and deliver him the water for fajr, or for tahajjud. Anyway, Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali tells him, Shah Abul Ma'ali Sahib Rahmatullah tells him, that you know what, you have created a difference in my trust in Allah Ta'ala, in my tawakkul, you have created a problem. But yes, tu ne haqq khidmat ko pura kar diya. As far as khidmat is concerned, you have really dedicated yourself. That's that fanayat, you see. Those two agendas and whatever. The same Shah Big Sahib, same person, who did so much of khidmat and dedicated himself and focused and everything, something very small, very, very minor had taken place. Shah Abul Ma'ali tells him, you get out. I was just telling Murana now, before Asr Namaz, okay, in this day and time, people have got no morale. Shout one person one time. So you'll find the whole morale is broken down for 1 month sometimes. 2 months it's broken down. 3 months, the person's morale is broken down. So the morale they're coming with is so weak. All the time, you just have to pick them up. The morale is broken down, totally broken down. Collapse morale they're coming with. You can't tell one word, you can't tell two words. Do baat bhi sunayenge, oh, it'll affect them very badly. So they come with such a weak morale now. With all that, you have to still pick the person up. See what you're talking of, the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want that strong relationship, you want that muhabbat. But then, whatever goes into that muhabbat, you're not prepared for that. Shaykh must say me, tell me all sweet things, nice things, I had good khab about you. I had good dreams about you. I'm reaching now. The first asman I've already covered. Now the second asman. Second asman now, I'm exploring the second asman. Like as though you feel, you know, someone is, the Shaykh is just surfing the net for you. So easy. What asman to the second asman? It's a little bit of difficulty. It's not so difficult that it's unachievable. But it's not so easy also. You feel, you know, I must lie down on my bed and I'll get everything coming to me. It doesn't happen like that. You have to focus. The mind must be there. The heart must be there. The soul must be there. And this is what Allah wants. Walaki yanzuru ila qulubikum. He looks at your heart. That's the focus. Idha saluhat saluhal jasadu kullu. That's the focus. That's the king of the body. That's the whole nucleus of the body. Get that right and everything works out. But that is corrupt and you want things to work out. How is it going to work out? You got a sore and you got some eczema, etc. So you're putting some Vaseline and all that. Maybe it'll clear up. But why? The blood is gone off. Take some Safi or something and get the blood right. Get the blood right, everything will come clear again. But now you want to put that Vaseline and show that skin right for that day. It'll come right for that hour or something, it'll show all right. So anyway, the Shaykh took him out. This person here is doing so much of khidmat, day and night is sacrificed for the Shaykh. And the Shaykh takes him out. But this is now to create that last level of fanaiyat. You know, that fanaiyat, absolutely complete fana. Then the Shaykh knows, that this person has given himself. He has dedicated himself for Allah Ta'ala. When he's dedicated himself for Allah Ta'ala, now Allah Ta'ala will grant that love. That love of Allah Ta'ala is not so cheap. You want that special love. Like that, every believer enjoys some love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But you want to enjoy the love of a higher level. But if you want that love of that higher level, then you need to go for a higher grinding. The grinding must be even fine. You want to move on a bicycle, you don't need fuel at all, right? But you want to move in a motorcycle, now you need some fuel. And you want to move in a faster car, the fuel should be also more refined. And you want to move in a jet, then the fuel must be even more refined. So that final, you know, you want the refinement. Why you want that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You want that extreme love, that highest love. So he's putting you through this whole mill so that you can qualify for the love of Allah ta'ala. But then as he's grinding you, you know, I can't manage this, man. This is a difficult one. I can't do this. How can I manage this? So the Sheikh chases him out. Now he's just waiting outside there somehow. Maybe some tree or something is waiting outside. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, all passed. And now comes the rainy season. India, when the rainy season comes, then they have to do the roofs up, they have to do their walls up. Because the walls are made of mud, also the roofs also made of mud and grass and all that. So the rainy season, and they have to do the roofs up again. That time they didn't have plastic and all that, they could cover it up. So anyway, now the wife is grumbling with the husband, Shahabul Ma'ali Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, ek toh khadim tha. We had just one noker working for us, you know, one of your murid, all the odds and ends used to be doing it. You threw him out, now who's going to fix the house up? The woman, as I say, they've got their own ways. We just had one person, all the odds and ends, he would take care, fix the house up, sort everything out, the odds and the ends, and you, like a clever thing, you went and chased him out as well. So now who's going to fix the house up? So the Sheikh has to be very, very careful and very cautious. Because he can't go to the Shah Beg, etc., come inside, come fix the house. He can't do that. Because the reason for him being thrown out will not be learnt. He has to learn the lesson for which he has been thrown out. And that lesson has to go deep into his system. You see, the Sheikh has to do two things. One is govern the matter correctly. And one is administer the medication as well. The medication has to go right. And then govern the person also correctly. Rule the thing correctly as well. So now Shah Sahib says, see, control. This is that self-control, self-discipline. So Shah Sahib says to his wife, you know what? I threw him out. You didn't throw him out. Right? I threw him out. And you didn't throw him out. So who's stopping you from calling him? See, he has to play it in that way so that the right type of lesson is passed on to the Shabig. Otherwise, the Shabig will say, see, today I got the better over him. He needed me. Yeah, he threw me, but now today he needs me. See, so he wouldn't have learned that lesson. That lesson wouldn't have gone into his system. So he says, no, I threw him out. You didn't throw him out. You go and call him. Why don't you call him? So he was just somewhere near the bush or whatever. And she went and called him. Hey, bare pareshani, in problems, man. Heavy difficulties behind. Rainy season comes. And here the whole roof is leaking and all. How must we live now? He was just waiting for that occasion. That's why he was outside. And then 1 month, he just camped outside. 1 month, rainy season, he just camped outside. So he went straight away, went to the river, got some mud and all that, how they fixed up roof in those days, clay, mud and all that, got some wood and some piece of stick and grass and thatch. And he's there on the roof and he's fixing up things there. Putting the sticks and then he's thatching with the grass and the mud and the clay and all that. Now it comes around lunchtime and Shah Sahib walks into the house to have his lunch. And he hears some sounds, could something carrying on. When he hears that noise coming from the roof, he says, who's this? So she says, Shabi. So he's excited, the Sheikh is excited that this man is loyal. You see that loyalty, that test of loyalty, that test of love. This whole incident is to show, this whole thing is to show the test of loyalty, and that is the highest level of love. Because he learned the concepts, right? The theory he learned of Bayat Murid and all that, right? He was practicing as well, doing the khidmat and all that. But that level of loyalty and allegiance, that was required. Now he wants to see that if I throw this person, is he still allegiant to me? If I throw him, is he still have the same level of loyalty to me? Or his loyalty will differ. One day you saw the carb, so you're doing everything. And the next day no carb came, so he left everything. So Allah Pak wants to see whether you tum khab ke bande ho, kya mere bande ho? Are you my slave or are you the slave of these dreams? Are you my slave or you slave of these feelings? If the business, everything is flourishing, then you might slave. And if the business is going down, then you're going down as well. So he wants to see now, where do your allegiance lie? So this allegiance and loyalty is that highest level. It's at highest level. See, I asked one person, he told me, no, you must make maulud. He's telling us, make maulud. I asked him, but why? He said, no, you know that one day we didn't make maulud, so the business went right down. So bhai, I asked him, you're doing for the muhabbat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or peso ki muhabbat ki wajah se? You're doing for the muhabbat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or muhabbat of the money? What are you doing it for? You understand? So that allegiance and the loyalty, that is the very difficult thing. It's the highest level. Anyway, when the sheikh heard about this and he sees now all this thing happen here, he's thrown out for almost a month, rainy season, he's camping outside and he's come here. So yeah. No, he's given me his total loyalty. He is not one that will betray. So I can have the trust in him. Then if he's going to be my representative, then he will be true to that representation. He won't have a different agenda. He's on the same agenda, on the same line as inherited from our elders. He's on that same line. He's not going to branch off. It won't be diverting. It'll be straight. You see, this is the reason why this whole examination, this whole thing comes to play because of this. Now afterwards, what's going to happen? Is he going to look for publicity? Is he going to look for wealth? Is he going to look for position? Is he going to look for something else? Or is he going to be following the same line? What is it that's going to be in him afterwards? I'm here for a few days. I will move on. But what will happen to this person here? So I says, no, he's on that line. And he's firm. And he's strong. He's not going to betray. This allegiance, he's not going to betray. This relationship, he's not going to betray. So alhamdulillah, now that whole relationship is secured. So the sheikh says, big. When he saw that, and he saw the true colors, so that big was too excited. So when the sheikh called him, big, he just gave him one hug. And in that one hug, he passed on the whole spiritual benefits to him. All the blessings that he had acquired from his sheikh, he had passed on to him. And this murid, he jumpu joy, he says, the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the grace of Allah ta'ala. That this person that was like a crow in Urdu and in India, when they talk of a crow, of a bird that is very low, you know, very low, most menial, because it will eat all scrap and dirt and filth. So they talk of a crow when they talk of something that is very menial. So he said, look at my sheikh. Look at the grace of Allah ta'ala. That this was a crow. He has promoted him to the highest of the eagles and the falcons. Falcon and eagle flies the highest, you know. And it's most expensive. One thing that you go and see in Kuwait and all that, where they keep these falcons, and one is 1 million, 2 million. Breed those things, right? So that which was a crow, now he brought it up and he elevated it. He exalted it to the level of a falcon and the highest degree of an eagle. Do you see? So this is that level, this is that what is required. This level of allegiance, this level of loyalty, this level of truth. And this comes with this verse here, كُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. When you talk of loyalty, then the same, صدق, truth. Then we don't want a betrayal in that. We don't want anything to be contaminating this allegiance, this muhabbat, this loyalty. Nothing was contaminated. And the moment a small difference is perceived, the man is on the musalla, he's crying to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, I brought a problem into my situation. I brought a problem in this. Allah Ta'ala, you rectify it. You correct it. You rectify it. You correct it. Hazrat Hanzala radiyallahu ta'anhu, he's perturbed by Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our whole mood is different. Our feelings are different. And then when you go to our wives and our children, then our whole feelings and our whole tabiat changes then. Here it's different and here it's changed. And here it's changed. So a slight difference, a slight variation, and it's caused such a big hiccup. It's caused such a big concern in him. That what has caused this? I've turned munafiq. What has happened to me? Until Rasulullah comforted him. That there's nothing to be worried about. It's just a feeling. It's just a feeling. You aren't gone any backwards. You are still what you are. You are still progressing. But these things have to go on. Understand? So you see, the three levels. Now see the same level in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? In the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the first is the theory, he's got it right. Practical comes in the hadith, trimming the mustache, clipping the nails, making khatna, washing, making wuzu, ghusl, etc., right? So all this practical, he got it right. All the practical, he's got it right, thrown into the fire. That's the practical side of it. Now, the highest level is that one and only child that you've got, I want to see, is your allegiance to me greater, your love to me greater, or the love of your child, is it greater? I want to see that. You see that? After all that test, وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينُ. You see the test, بَلَاءُ الْمُبِينُ. This is a great test. It was the greatest test. Now we want to see. Everything else you have passed, but now we want to see that this test here, are you going to pass with this test here or not? That which is a piece of your heart, with so much of aspiration you've got this child, and after getting this child with so much of aspiration, then as you pass the knife over his throat, what are you going to do? Where's your allegiance? Where's your love? I want to see that. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq naseef.